This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not salt and pepper.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that today.
Oh, that's crazy.
Welcome back, Midday Show. What year is this song from? 90?
This is the 80s, right?
No,
late 80s? 90s?
95.
No, I just remember them tights and them biker jackets.
I feel like it's more like 94 or 95. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm off on this. 215-592-94.
86.
86. Wow, yeah, you were spot on.
Yeah, because I remember the biker tights and the them jackets they had on. Yeah. That was like my childhood right there.
That crafted the person who is today. All right.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on here on the show. Tush push. The Packers are trying to ban this thing. You got the head coach of the Falcons down at the combine saying, yeah.
Hating for no reason.
Straight hater saying this thing should have been banned 3 years ago. If it is banned, if these teams led by the Packers get their way, is it a big deal? Hugh and Kyle think it is. Look, I want to keep it, but I don't think this is going to appreciably change anything. I think the Eagles will get the first downs enough. They will score points enough. I think they have enough good players, smart enough coaches that they will overcome it if it is taken away, even though it is annoying. And the big free agents, the four of them for the Eagles, between Becton and Sweat and Bond and Williams, if you could have two back, who are you going with? 215-592-9494. We'll get to the latest disaster with the Sixers last night as they get rocked at home.
Rocked.
By the Chicago Bulls last night. I believe TK, Tom Kelly, brought his son to his first game last night. That's a tough one. To bring your son.
Dad, how come they stink so bad?
Poor kid.
Yeah, I know. He just ruined it. that ruined fandom. You can't predict that stuff, but you kind of can with the Sixers. Let's go back to the phone lines here. David in Drexel Hill. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
what's
David
up, man?
You know, every team in the league got the right to do it. That's why it shouldn't be banned. And if you think about this, will it hurt the Eagles? Maybe 15, 20%. Because I would bet my money, if you gave Jalen Hurts 10 times to get 1 yard, he'll get 7 times. He will score 1 yard.
I think you're right on that, David. Yep.
And then with the tush push, the real reason people never even talk about this, our quarterback, I was told, could bench 400 or 500 pounds.
Yeah, well, the squat. Block. It's that squat.
He's strong.
600-pound squat.
And that's
squat.
What really helps, too.
Yeah, he's strong.
And here's the move
they
should ban, Hugh. How about if they ban the quarterback fake? Patrick Mahomes might not have a – two Super Bowls. He might be 2 Super Bowls less.
You mean the fake when he run out of bounds, faking like he about to go out of bounds?
Or he act like he got hit and he falls.
Yeah,
and the ref just go ahead and give him the play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, David, that's a competitive advantage because there's something to. Yeah, everyone's got to be on the same page that if the quarterback's giving himself up or going out of bounds,
he can't take advantage of the situation.
Then because the defender's going
to
pull up
to get flopping.
Exactly,
he's a perfect flopper, and nobody say nothing. But I just look at that Jalen Hurts, and they will never give him, like they said, Barkley was like MVP, which he could have been. But I don't think Barkley won a championship before he came here. I don't think Barkley led the league before he came here.
No, he definitely won a championship.
Yeah, he didn't win a darn thing. I mean,
he's a champion
now. But we went to a championship without him.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, thank the Lord we got him.
Well, they needed him. Yeah, for sure.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Jalen is the key factor. Jalen's going to open it up more, airing the ball out this year. And with that running game, dude, we're going to go back to at least the championship. If we don't make the championship game, if we go back to the NFC championship, I'll be satisfied.
Now I want to win it again. I want to have another parade, man.
I definitely want the Super Bowl because if we win it, Hugh, guess what it does for this city?
What it does?
It makes us line up for three in a row.
Well, that's right. David, yes. I mean, you're right. I mean, like the Eagles, the league is right now a Chiefs league and an Eagles league. And look, if the Eagles win the next one, then it tips them.
We might be going for three, and let's see if the Chiefs can beat us down.
Let's do it. Yeah, I do think at some point, David, good phone call. I do think at some point we get another Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl.
Be nice.
It just feels like it's destined for round three. It's kind of the rubber match to decide it. The Chiefs are... I don't know if they're going to go to four in a row and go again next season, but they'll be in the mix. I mean, they'll be in the mix as long as Mahomes is upright.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback, man. And, I mean, they got a good team. And I know it's kind of crazy how people want to diminish what they've accomplished over the years. They're still a good football team, though. No question
about
that. Great
team, yeah. I mean, they're the team – they're right now the team of this era, and the Eagles have a chance to kind of wedge their way in there after beating them. Kyle, do we have more coaches now chiming in on tush-push stuff? Because we know Raheem Morris this morning, he threw his hat in the ring.
Yeah, Sean McDermott asked about it. I mean, a coach that runs the tush push.
They
by
do.
The way.
I think if you look at the numbers, the team that's run it the second most times behind the Eagles is the Bills.
Yeah.
He's out?
Yep. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Soft.
Sean McDermott. Guys.
Now, here's the thing with Sean. I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. He went to William and Mary. He was here, and I know him pretty well. But. Didn't you try to run the tush push?
So they ran it the second most times behind the Eagles.
Didn't you try to run the tush push?
Mm-hmm. And famously failed.
And now you're the guy that tried to adapt to it. Now you want to take the play away, but you tried to run it. Why, help me make that's just like saying, you know, somebody smoked crack, right? And I start smoking crack, and then somebody say, well, Hugh, is crack bad? Yeah, it's bad, but I used to smoke it. So,
smoking crack a great high.
I mean, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, seriously, why are you complaining about something that you tried to emulate because you tried to give your team an advantage? Because that's how I look at it.
You know,
am I wrong for looking at it?
I think about his offensive
line. I mean, I just tried to, you know, I set you up for that one, Kyle. Yeah, I was looking out for you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
You know, I think about if I'm one of his offensive linemen today.
Well, Coach, why
are we doing this? Like, wait a second. you forgot where you were. You forgot where you were again.
I thought I was at the meeting.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're on the air.
Did you see Kyle almost hit the dumb
microphones are on.
It's like something went off in my brain.
He was like, wait a minute.
But like
if I'm his offensive lineman, I'm sitting like, wait,
why the hell we practice this there?
You think it's an injury risk and you're making me do this all these plays?
That's my point. Like, why are we doing this? You sat there with a straight face and you answered the question, be like, hold up, dog. Didn't you try to do this several times this year?
Yeah, I'm not liking where this is going. The Packers opened up Pandora's box.
I'm
now
telling you.
Two coaches are like, they're right.
But the timing, you don't think the timing is ironic, though?
In terms of the Eagles winning,
like they're coming in, and you know, like this is how I look at it, because they hung out last night, so Howie and Nick walked into the club, and they came through the door, and it's like, yo, everybody get a bottle on me, you know what I mean? That's basically what they did. They came in the club, and they're like, hey. Everybody get a bottle of that Dom Perignon. I got it. Don't worry about it. It's going to get you some of that steak wrapped in bacon. It's on me. They came in big time, and somebody didn't like that. That's on some personal stuff.
So you think the Eagles came into last night to the steakhouse
peacocking?
They're peacocking.
Oh, man, with the Eagles gear on?
Mm-hmm.
Two-time Super Bowl champions? Yes. And now everybody like, you know what? Never did like that mofo in the first place. Hey, but I'm gonna take this bottle of champagne and these bacon wrapped meats. But I'm gonna talk bad about.
Well, no one's turning down the free meal. I mean, that's not happening.
That's what happened, man. Mike McDaniel, who was it? I forgot
Vic,
his name. Vic Fangio came up to me. He's like, yo, man, I got don't work. Hey, dog, tab on me, cause I got no. You did me a solid, Playboy. I got you.
I wish I could have a video of Vic Fangio calling Mike McDaniel Playboy.
Yeah, hey, Playboy, don't worry about it. I got you. Hey, drinks on me. No, no, no. Don't that no. You don't pay for nothing. Not while I'm sitting here. Dude. I saw the picture. I saw the rendition on the rings. Ooh. Wee. Ooh. Ooh. I can't wait to show it to you. That's what he did. That's what they did. Because you know they're gonna be big now. They're gonna be ridiculously big. And they're gonna have some kind of like trinket on it. Like I saw the ones that the Kansas City Chiefs did. They had the you take the top off, right?
Oh, I never
and you,
saw
and
that.
You, and it's the stadium inside. You know, the Eagles, Jeff probably going to do something like that. Those rings going to be stupid big.
Well, this is the second one for Jeff and Howie, so they need to make it
yeah,
like
and,
real
and
big.
It's going to have them two. It's going to have them two Super Bowl the trophies on there, the Lombardi trophies. Man, they probably spent like last night probably at least about $2,000-$3,000 in drinks. Probably.
Well, now everyone's annoyed at them for peacocking
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what you do when you win the championship.
Well, that's their time to do it. They're going to speak today at 2 o'clock. Howie and then Nick Sirianni. Ken and Cinnamon is up. Hey, Ken.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. What's up?
Where is there to spend $2,000 or $3,000 in drinks?
You know what? It's at the bar. Because you buy it, like, kid, you buy everybody drinks. You are the man. So you bought all the drinks from last night. You bought people drinks you didn't even know. You bought friends drinks. So, yeah, you did that. About $2,000-$3,000, about there.
You've been to Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, I have. Okay. That's been but, Ken, you know what? That's been about 20 years ago. The Shula is the Shula. If where they're at, I think the Shula Steakhouse is still there. So, that's a nice little swanky spot. Pretty sure the drinks up there are pretty expensive.
They get some bacon wrapped meats there, that's for sure.
Bacon wrapped meats?
First of all, I would not overpay Milton Williams. At all. There's just no way. I mean, as you guys have pointed out, the draft is really, really thick with, you know, three technique tackles. And, you know, you're going to have to extend Jalen Carter. You're going to have to extend Nolan Smith. You're going to have to extend Cam Jurgens. Like, every dime that you overpay for Milton Williams is going to make it that much harder to pay Jalen Carter and pay all these guys to keep them. And, you know, he is the reason that the defense was so much better this year than it was last year was largely because they got younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper. And, you know, if this draft offers you an opportunity to continue to do that, to get younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper, then, you know, Milton, thanks for your service. But, you know, good luck wherever you go get paid. And I'm not mad at you. You know, you earned every dime of it.
Well, my guess is that's the way it's going to play out, that someone's going to offer him the kind of money that they're just – they can't do it because they have to pay the other guys in coming years. Ken, I think he's going to get $20 million a year by someone with cap room.
Yeah, he probably will. But it's like when Javon Hargrave went to San Francisco after the Eagles, you know, went to the Super Bowl, and, you know, the 49ers gave him $88 million. Like, that was dumb. And you saw what it ultimately wound up costing the 49ers. So, you know, and they're in cap hell now. So, you know, you have to continue to use the draft as an opportunity. You got a bunch of cap hits that are going to continue to go up. Jalen Hurts' cap hit is going to continue to rise now. You got all these other guys that are already under contract. You've got to continue to use the draft as an opportunity to continue to get younger and cheaper. And so, for me, it's, you know, obviously Zach Bond is a no-brainer, and I just don't think an off-ball linebacker is just going to command that much. And then, you know, by default, it would have to be Becton if you're talking about two of the four. But, you know, I've got Trevor Keegan in the back of my mind, too. They did draft him last year, and I still think that that guy is going to be the starting right or left guard on this football team in the foreseeable future. So, you know, I just – let's pump the brakes. Everybody wants to pay everybody after you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, everybody ain't going to get paid.
You've got to be smart about it, and – you have to continue to use the draft as an opportunity to get younger and cheaper. And
well, yeah, to your point, Ken, we're talking as with the hope of two out of the four, but there's also a real chance three out of the four leave, and they only bring back one. I mean, that's possible, too. Ken, what do you think? If the tush push is gone, big deal, not a big deal?
Well, just first of all, how arrogant and pompous are the Green Bay Packers? The reason that they're giving is saying that it doesn't involve any skill. Well, the mere fact that there's only one team that can actually do it well kind of shows, you know, kind of proves that it involves a ton of skill that nobody else has. I would respect them more if they just said, you know what, it's unfair, we can't stop it because their guys are bigger and better and tougher than ours, and so we don't like it, and it's unfair. You know, I think if it does wind up getting banned, and I don't think it's going to get banned, because there's no real reason within the rules to ban it. You know, like you pointed out, Sean McDermott, his offensive lineman thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute, our head coach is out there saying this is unsafe, and he keeps running it. So he doesn't give a crap about us, right?
That's a bad look on his part.
I don't think it's going to get banned, but if it does get banned, I am confident that the Eagles will find a way within the rules to excel at the quarterback sneak, because that's essentially what it is. And this stuff about it being aesthetically pleasing, I have yet to see a quarterback sneak where somebody says, wow, what a unique play design that was, man. Like, that was really aesthetically pleasing. It's a quarterback sneak.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be effective, yeah.
You'd be surprised. There's some people out there that they will play that aesthetically pleasing card, like when they're watching football.
Oh, yeah, I know, but that's because they don't want to admit the real reason is that they just can't stop it.
Exactly.
So they got their panties in a wad, so oh well.
Yeah, and listen, we'll see how it plays out. Ken, we appreciate the phone call. If we start hearing stuff from the league about aesthetically pleasing, that I understand, because they are, it's a TV show for them. But
yeah,
for fans or opposing fans, like, what do you care? Like, do we
aesthetically please? I want to see some great play design when I watch football.
And again, if this was happening,
I want to see a ballet with a big man running around doing stuff that I'm like, well, that's aesthetically pleasing.
If this was happening 20 times a game, then you'd say, all right, it's becoming rugby. It's a 3 times per game play.
I'm not picking on anybody, because I think I don't want Joe thinking I'm picking on the camera, because he said that this
morning.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah,
but it's when I think of football, I don't. That's not aesthetically pleasing. Is not what comes to mind initially. It's ass whooping. Like, no disrespect, but it's like physicality. It's like, I'm going to impose my will on you. I'm going to make you do something you really don't want to do. I'm going to crush you and take your will and your soul. It ain't nothing aesthetically pleasing about that. That's no. Ugly. That's violent. And it's carnivorous. It's carnage at its finest.
We needed a good carnivorous on the show today.
No, I'm saying, because it's like, I think we tend to forget, and people that watch it, they tend to forget, this game is not for the faint of heart. Mm. Like, it's not. People get hurt, bones are broken, back. Like, I look at, like, it's funny, because we were in New Orleans, and I'm laughing because I'm talking to some guys, and we all do it. I'm the same way. I John, everybody. It's like, you see guys that you remember at their height,
right,
and the way that they look. And I always laugh because, like, we all complain about backs tight, you know, knees hurt. And I'd be like, damn, dog. Like, I saw Michael Lewis, beer man. I was like, damn, dog, you old. He's like, you're old too. You know what I mean? And you think about the sacrifices and the stuff that you did playing against Deuce McAllister, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was a violent game. Wasn't nothing pretty about it. When we played New Orleans that one time we went down there, it was nothing pretty about that game. So when you sit there and say aesthetically, please, dog, it's not meant to be.
So I think, like, from the perspective of Goodell and the league, there's got to be a balance, because if every play was the tush push, that would be boring. You know what I mean? But that's not the way it is. I don't think we've gotten to a point where anyone who runs Fox or CBS or Amazon says, I don't know, people might turn this off because there's too much tush push. I get why sports want it to be fun and exciting. Like, that's why they opened up the game for passing. It's why they want more stolen bases and running in baseball. I understand all that. It's 3 plays a game. I've never met one person who said, it's getting kind of boring. I just run the tush push every time.
Like, nobody says that, man.
Well, first of all, here, because it's successful, no one's going to complain. But in general, they don't run it that much. None of these plays are that a big a part of the game. That's why I don't think the Eagles can't overcome it. And also don't, like, it's really much ado about nothing. That's why these guys come off as so soft.
Yeah,
between
it's
the Packers and Raheem and McDermott. Who's our pick? Who's our guess on who's next? Who's the next soft coach to get to the podium and say, ban it?
Dan Quinn.
No, Dan Quinn. Like, the one thing I will say about Dan Quinn, and that's why I didn't think it was the Commodores that did that.
Saying he's not soft?
He's kind of a grimy dude. He tried to be grimy. He's a little grimy.
Yeah, he comes off as a little grimy.
But you put it on Andy.
Huh?
You did.
I put it on.
Wow.
Because, you know why? You know why? I put it on Coach because of this. There were some things that I saw, and I'm not going to get into detail, and I didn't know if it was true or not. that I felt that there probably was some rumblings coming out of Kansas City. Mm. Because, you know, I saw, you know how we live in a time now where anybody can write a story.
Sure.
And if it's not vetted, you don't know if it's real or not. So, you know, how my algorithm goes.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at a few stories and I didn't say anything because I didn't know how true they were. And then when this came out, I just kind of said, okay, this might fit. That's why I did that.
Yeah, I got it.
I was surprised. And I was, to be honest, I was surprised, but the timing was everything. You know, and I'm talking about the fact, you know, the Swifties, the CJGJ stuff, and the way that a lot of people have been complaining about the way that they've handled this. That's why I kind of felt it was Kansas City.
Yeah, listen, if the tush push is banned, it'll be a depressing day in Philadelphia. You know it's depressing all the time? The 2024-25 Sixers. Can we check in what happened last night? So a 142-110 loss at home. They gave up 142 points to the Chicago Bulls last night. At one point, they were down 50 points in a basketball game to the Chicago Bulls.
I think they went on a 24-6 run at the end of the game and still lost by 32.
I'm looking at the box score. I don't know who a third of these Bulls are. I mean, if they walked in the room, I wouldn't know who they are. They scored 142 last night. Let's check in with the vibes after the game. Nick Nurse on the vibe of his team right now.
Just the overall vibe was really poor. Mm-hmm. From the start, I think that, you know, giving up 39, almost 40 again in the first quarter just kind of set the tone for the game, and there just didn't seem to be a lot of energy or life or vibe tonight.
I didn't see that coming.
I feel like Nick might quit before the season is over. He sounds so ready to throw the towel in on this season.
Ain't this like the eighth straight loss?
Well, they're winless since Daryl said if you squint hard enough, they can see a championship. So that's going on here.
And then didn't the Bulls come in on a losing streak?
The Bulls are terrible. I mean, their record's just basically as bad as the Sixers.
But this is something. Hey, listen, this should make y'all feel good because I just got this piece of information from Kyle a little while ago, and I just feel like this would be the perfect time to insert it right here in this moment.
Okay, what do you got?
Tobias Harris might be going to the playoffs.
The Pistons are like the hottest team.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
I'm not going to lie.
It's not funny.
That one might get me punched in the face.
You might want to lay low on that.
I might get stuff thrown at me today when I leave the building.
So the Bulls had lost six in a row before they took a 50-point lead last night. Let's hear from Paul George on the team right now and their habits and what he's seeing.
For this group to believe that we can be not even to get to the playoffs, but make a push towards it. I mean, we've shown no sign of a team that will compete. And
did he say that?
Yeah,
he did. Did he say what I just thought he said?
Mm-hmm. We just don't have the habits of a champion or a playoff contending team would have. So, you know, to be honest right now, it's a little far-fetched. You know, all we can do is work hard and try to just keep going for one another, but we've shown no signs of a forget championship, but a playoff contingent, team here.
So he dumped on
Daryl Morey.
I thought the same thing. Forget championship. That was it. Also, but Paul talking about habits of a champion is rich,
considering
he's never been to the finals.
Well, see, you got caught on that.
Well, what does he know about championships?
But my thing is, I got caught more on. That's a bold statement to make, and you're a part of the problem. Like, you know,
you know
what I mean?
No, you are.
I mean, you're a part of what's wrong with the team. So if that's how, like, my thing would be this: if that's how you feel, what are you doing to change it? What are you doing to change the culture? Like, that's what I would ask him. Okay, Paul, if you feel so strong about this, and you're talking about your teammates, you're in the locker room. What are you doing to help? What are you doing to try to change that?
What's he doing?
Are you coming in early?
You recording a new podcast?
Are you leaving late? Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, all jokes aside, like, what are you doing to try to help it make it better?
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, look, if the tank is on, and if it's not, that's embarrassing. If they tried last night and lost and were down 50 to the Chicago Bulls,
that's crazy.
That's a joke. I mean, that really is. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your tush push phone calls on the other side, and we'll do a little Clearwater check-in on the other side. The Phillies are apparently seeking another right-handed hitting outfielder. I've got an idea for a trade, and it's not your typical trade, especially at this time of the year, but I've got a thought on a trade I think makes sense for both sides to help the Phillies – and get him another outfitter. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilli, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up, 1 o'clock hour, we got some big rumors coming out of the Combine that involve the Philadelphia Eagles. Howie and Nick set to speak around 2. We'll be joined later in our show by Spike, Ike, and Fritz for a little crossover before.
Okay, killer crossover.
That's right, killer crossover before the Howie and Nick press conferences live from Indianapolis and a little bit later on. I'll get to a trade I want the Phillies to make. They need a right-handed outfielder with Weston Wilson hurt. It's very light from that side. I have an idea we'll get to. Your phone calls on the tush push here. We do have this, though, Hugh. Finally, someone willing to stand up and not be a big baby like everybody else.
Big old baby.
At least he wasn't a huge baby about it. Andy Reid got up to the podium today, Hugh, and he did not throw the tush push under the bus, the proverbial bus.
Yeah, the proverbial bus.
He said he said and I'm paraphrasing, it's a long quote, but he said he understands the conversation, and he understands it's not an easy thing to do. And he said, look, you have to look at the injuries, and if that is a thing, then they have to talk about it. But he said it's a heck of a play. He doesn't have all the information. He was way more like, hey, I'm not. He didn't push for any banning the way
he was political.
Teams. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, because he understands the concept, the basic concepts of football. I mean, it's a play that nobody can stop, but it's still rooted in physicality and having the personnel. And he even said it's hard. He said it's hard on the center.
Uh-huh.
It's hard on the center because he's in there. I'm just surprised at all these other coaches that I know somewhat personally, you know, and I've had conversations with them to sit there and go out the way that they're going out. That's kind of crazy.
Sounds like you're disappointed in these guys.
I'm really disappointed in Coach McDermott because he was a defensive guy. He played safety.
He got his start here as a defensive coach and then a coordinator.
And then to have the nerve to talk bad about it and you try to implement it into your offense. And not only that, you try to do it in the title game, and you didn't get it. And then to sit there with a straight face and sit there and talk about how bad it is and how much it is the injury factor plays into it, that's crazy to me. That is just – I just don't see how you could do that and be taken seriously.
Especially as if I'm his player today, I'm an offensive lineman, I'm like, wait a second. You made us run this like 20 times, 40 times, whatever it was this season, and you think it's a dangerous play? Thanks, coach. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, real messed up.
It is. Would a tush push ban be a big deal for the Eagles? Yes or no? 215-592-9494. All right, let's talk to Glenn, who's up next on WIP. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Glenn. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so, yeah, I mean, I think it would make a little bit, just to jump right to the question, I think it would make a little bit of a difference on the Eagles. I do believe they would, you know, they're going to come up with something else. But, I mean, the play is so successful, we don't want to get rid of it for the same reason they want to get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Right, well, so, yeah, of course, everyone, yeah, no one wants, the Eagles want to keep status quo because they're the champions and they got a really, you know, efficient play. And then everybody else, they want to knock the Eagles down a peg.
Right, that's right. And the thing, it is hilarious. I mean, I think that the Bills coach is saying that he would like to get rid of it because he's looking, you know, he's looking forward. He knows he has to play the Eagles in the Super Bowl next year if he makes it that far. And he doesn't want to face that play because he knows the end result.
Oh, a little 3D chess there from McDermott. He wants
stop
it out.
It.
Yeah,
that's
he's
crazy.
Thinking
he
forward.
He's crazy for that. Crazy.
Now, I will say this. You know, before the Super Bowl, guys, I said the Eagles' score was going to be 41-24. I wasn't far off.
That's almost so, that's almost exactly right.
Yeah. But, you know, and as far as keeping players, man, you got to keep on and you got to keep. I would like to see them keep Becton after that. It would be really nice to keep Williams and Sweat. I know the cap helps out a little bit, but those two players – are the ones I feel like you really got to keep.
Yeah, it feels like Bond is in everybody's top two. And Glenn, we appreciate the phone call. So when we had Elliot on and then we had a call from Ken a little while ago, Hugh, we're kind of having a conversation off the premise of keeping two. there is a chance they lose 3 out of 4. I mean, like, this happens. When you and that list I looked at yesterday, NFL.com, they ranked the top free agents. They had Bond, Sweat, and Williams all, I believe, in the top 15. Like, these aren't just good Eagles. They're valuable players in the NFL. And then I looked this morning at the teams with the most cap room. There's always like 2 or 3 or 4 teams every year that have a lot of cap room, and they overpay. They change the market.
That's what free agency is, man. You know, you got overpaid. I got overpaid in Jacksonville, and that's what I was looking for. I got exactly what I wanted. It all depends on their space, the space they're in. We know that Josh Sweat is about to go get paid. He took a pay cut last year, and he's about to go maximize his dollars. Zach Bond, that's an interesting story, because here's a guy who been in the league for well over five years and hasn't seen the success that he's seen here. And that might mean something to him. I was reading a story the other day where, you know, Bill Berge, rest in peace, when he passed, his family gave Bond a medallion to wear in the Super Bowl or to wear at the Super Bowl.
Yes, I saw that story, yep.
And he wore it, and that's powerful, man. And I mean, it's powerful in the sense that you knew what Bill Berge meant to this city. This family doesn't really know you from a can of paint. They just know they saw something in him, Bill Berge's family, that reminded them of Bill. And, you know, Bill played in the Super Bowl with Jaws and those guys. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was Bill's last game that he played in. And that's a powerful connection. I don't know if he wants to move on from that because of that gesture. So he might stay here. So there might be a path to that. Milt's young. Milt's 25 years old. Milt's probably going to maximize his dollars.
This is his moment.
Yeah, because, I mean, hell, he's been here for a couple years, won a Super Bowl, went to two, if I'm not mistaken, went to two.
He was drafted 2021, yep.
As a young defender, if I would have had that in my first 3 or 4 years in the NFL, oh, hell. Well, I did that when I got older. But, hell, I'm going to go get paid. Yeah. I'm going to get paid.
There's also the element, I know the cap went up, so the Eagles have a little more than we thought.
A little bit more money.
But these contracts, when they do them, they're not just thinking about this year, right? Like, a year from now, Jalen Carter is up for an extension that could make him
to get stupid paid.
Yeah, I mean, we could be talking about one of the 5 or 6 highest paid defensive players in the sport a year from now. So they got to budget that in. And as you've said a couple times today, Hugh, Jalen's cap number, it's not big, but it starts to go up, right? It starts to go from nothing to, you know, in a few years, it's not nothing anymore. So they got to budget all this in. So I think there's a feeling out there like, hey, Howie could fit it. Sure.
These are chess moves, though. These aren't like you're playing checkers.
Stuff.
Yeah. You're like, we're thinking about this as a checker player. These are chess moves because you like money. They're benefited now because Jalen didn't cost that much. But I mean, shucks. Jalen about to hit him for $35 million this year.
You gonna be all right today?
I'm not sure, actually.
I've gotten too comfortable.
You really have.
I need to get back in corporate
mode. It's only Tuesday.
Yeah, I think I know what happened to Hugh. During football season, he was used to being on the air 6 days a week when you include the Eagles. We gave him a couple weekends off, and this guy, you know, he forgets how to talk in front of a microphone.
No, I've gotten too
comfortable. There's FCC regulations.
I've gotten too comfortable. I need to pull it back a little bit.
As you get more comfortable, Kyle gets less comfortable.
No, I've gotten Kyle twice today. Like the knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to pull it back in, Kyle. I got this. Why has Hassan Reddick been on 4 other freaking football teams?
The funniest thing is I think people can understand it if you're angry, right? Something slips out in anger.
Yeah, the passion.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing. But I'm just like, because we're having spirited conversation. And I'm just like, you know, I think I'm talking to my friends off the mic.
Bleep.
Yeah, you know, he's about to get paid. Yeah, I got to pull it back a little bit.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Frank in Sewell is up on WIP. Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's
good,
up, Frank?
What's up?
Listen. You know I don't like that Bush play. And I know why. I analyzed it my own way, and I think I know why it's such a disadvantage and not the offense. First of all, I mean, saying it's going to happen, and everyone laughed, no, whatever. Here's what's going on. When the ball's being snapped, you got all this, everyone's trying to get their position and get into the slot to stop Jalen. The problem is, you got two guys in the backfield who are untouched virtually almost the whole play. Okay, no one's combating them, and they're driving him. Now, sometimes Hurts, I think Hurts wears that extra heavy brace on because I think, no, I'm joking, but I mean, Goddard's ready to break his back one of these times. And I think when they did it one time to Pickett or McKee, yeah, he got up out of that pile. Like, what the hell did I just go throw?
Yeah, I think it was Pickett. So Frank, you want the tush push out.
Yeah, I can't stand it. Let Barkley run it in. Like I want to see old school run. Let the running back run, the best back in the game. I mean, they did it five times in a row that one time when he got him down there. I think he got him down there to the one. And he ran it the five times in a row. I mean, come on. That ain't cool. My mind is not cool. And, again, I think that's why it works. The Eagles practice it up probably way more than anybody else. They still got it mastered.
But other teams could do that, Frank.
I mean, other teams have tried to do it.
No one's stopping the other teams.
I get you, but it is a physical disadvantage, though. When you got Goddard there uncontested.
A physical disadvantage.
Hold on, wait.
Interesting.
You shouldn't have anyone, which I told you, I'm sorry.
No, I was listening to what you said, and I was, you know, talking under my breath, but I guess I said it louder.
What would you be doing in there? Like, well, you were on the end, but, I mean, seriously, if you were in the middle there, what are you
try
doing?
To stop it. I wouldn't cry about it.
You can't work out a little bit harder. But no one can touch Goddard. He's got his hands on him as soon as the ball snaps. Everyone else is preoccupied. It's only a 2 second play.
But also, Frank, they run it two or three times a game. Like, is it really enough to get all worked up?
What about all the other times?
Yeah, how many drives does it keep going, and it leads?
Like the numbers are the numbers. They've run it 101 times the last three seasons. So we could do the math and say maybe one time they did it five times, another time they did it zero.
On average,
it's three times a game. That's not a lot.
But they're key. They're keeping drives alive. This isn't a first down.
What's wrong
that's
with keeping drives
yards.
Alive, though, Frank?
It's keeping,
I don't understand.
It's
why are you
touchdowns.
Against that?
But don't you want them to get first downs?
Yeah, I do. Not like that. I want to see Saquon get it. But hear me out. So one more thing. Ready? Here, Hurst is going to go down one day as the leading, all-time leading rushing quarterback, right, with touchdowns, right?
Oh, he is. He's on pace for like 100 career rushing touchdowns.
By a lot. Yeah. You think in 20 years they should look back at him and say, yeah, that's Jalen Hurts, man. He was the best running quarterback ever. Come on, no.
Well, I wouldn't say.
You didn't workshop this thing too much.
Frank, so no, because Lamar's a better runner. But if he scores
a high. Randall Cunningham was a better runner.
Sure, we could, and so is Vic. We could pick out seven of them. But the bottom, I think of Jalen more like Cam. Cam ran for like 80 career touchdowns. Am I going to like knock Cam for that? He was a good runner.
No, but Cam was getting pushed in the end zone all the time.
Right, but a lot of Cam's were quarterback sneaks. It just was a different way they ran.
Cam was a bigger dude. I knew it was coming, and everyone laughed and said it's never going to get banned, and I think it probably will.
Do you work for the Packers, Frank?
It didn't happen yet.
Frank, do you work for the Packers? Is this Brian Gutekunst?
Well,
I'll tell you what, though, Frank. You came with a compelling argument.
Well, Saquon ran the ball 400 times this year. You need 20 more?
He got like 500 carries.
They cheated him out of 14 touchdowns. He could have had 14 touchdowns.
See, now we get down to it. Frank did this. He bet Saquon to get the touchdown.
It's the props.
I respect that.
I want the running back. He was the heart and soul of the offense, and he should get –
He was anyway.
Yeah, I get what Frank
told me. Hold on. He took it like a good sport. He could have said, yo – I want to run it in.
On a lot of those, he was tackled at the one. You know, there's another way here. Okay. He could have just broke the tackle and scored himself.
Oh, right. So you try one push and he give it to Barkley. No, they try five in a row.
Or he just doesn't get tackled on the one. I mean, that's a possibility, too.
Come on. He ran 55 yards to get there, though.
Well, the last one's the one that you want. I mean, it doesn't matter to me who scores the touchdowns. Frank appreciates the call. I mean,
that was so annoying.
Now, if you're betting
Frank,
on
Frank
him or if you're fantasy, okay. Like,
he
what,
had a compelling
cares?
Argument, though. It was kind of crazy that he argued so
well,
hard.
Well, you know what it is. Frank's patting himself on the back because he said this is going to happen. And then now it's
so he's like,
moving
I told
way.
You so, Frank.
That's what it felt
it
like.
It didn't even happen yet, though.
It didn't, no.
But it feels like the worm is turning on this.
There's some momentum, obviously, in Indianapolis.
Yeah, this is good.
I think that was Brian Gutekunst. I think that was – he works for the Packers.
It's just weird. Like –
as an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, it is bizarre for anyone calling or listening to us today to be adamant to get it out. Now you may be with me and not think it's going to really be that big of a deal if we lose it, but to say, like, you want it out, that's kind of weird. It helps the Eagles.
And there's not even like an argument to be made that it's not football. Like, it's very much football.
Yeah, it's a different kind of football. But like Hugh has mentioned today,
it's the physical dominance.
Yeah, of course. It's
physical, not ballet out there.
A way to coin it, physical dominance. That's basically what it is in a nutshell.
A man,
whoop a man. R.I.P. Tommy Brazier. That's what he used to say all the time. Football is a man, whoop a man.
And that's what it is. All right, let's go to Dustin in the Northeast. Hey, Dustin.
Fellas, hi, Joey G.
What's up, man?
Dustin, how you doing? What's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm so happy you brought me on after that last caller. Dude, there's no way he's an Eagles fan.
I was thinking that. I didn't want to say it.
I'll say it for you, Hugh. There's no way.
We're all inclusive.
He's one of the biggest smacked asses Eagles fans I've ever seen in my life. Because who is going to sit there and say they don't want the tush push? They don't want to get a first down if it's in the way of the tush push. I don't care how they get a first down.
Also, the idea of that we're worrying about what people are going to say positively about Jalen 20 years from now. Who cares?
If
Jalen rushes for 100 rushing touchdowns, great. I mean, why am I going to lose sleep over that?
It's unbelievable. And everything that's going on right now, first of all, for your last call, our last point I'm going to make on his call, they're not going to ban the play. And if they do ban the play, they're going to have to ban quarterback sneaks because it's the same exact play. We just have a better technique of running it. So they can't take the play. They can't ban the play. And even if they just so happen to ban the play, like you were saying, Joe, I don't think – it's going to affect us like everybody thinks it is. Yeah, we do like to run that play because we're so highly successful at it. But at the same time, we have the best offensive line in the league. So if you want to test the Stout University, go ahead and try it because we know what happened last time. They were testing it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I'm not really worried about that. But, real quick, before you guys let me go, is there any way we could bring up to that terrible organization of the Philadelphia 76ers and bring up the idea of moving to Camden because we don't want them over here anymore?
Kick them out.
Can we get them out, right?
I wouldn't mind kicking the Sixers out.
That?
Yeah. I mean,
no, I was just asking. I just wanted to be sure we're on the same
page.
Maybe
a little probation. Like, they got to go over there for a year or two and then we'll bring them back.
No, keep them. Camden can keep them because we don't want that organization anymore. They represent what I saw last night on that court, and I was one of the suckers that watched that horrible game. That was such a disgrace. It was five players in Sixers uniforms that didn't give a hell what happened in that game. It's the biggest joke of an organization. The head coach, I hope he quits because I don't think he's a good coach. He has no one. He cannot. He's the complete opposite of Nick Sirianni. These dudes don't want to play for him because he's such an idiot. It's unbelievable what's going on with that organization. Get him the hell out of here. Go to kick. Better yet, take him to China. I don't even want him in America, dude. That's how much I dislike this organization.
Yeah, we're kicking the Sixers out of the country now. Dustin, good phone call. It's challenging to be down 50 points to the Bulls. I mean, you almost got to try to be that bad.
I just find it hilarious how Paul George talked about effort, and he's a part of the effort train. I didn't watch a whole lot of that game. I didn't watch none of that game. I would like to see him on the sidelines and what he was doing to try to motivate.
Yeah.
Because because the coach talked about how it looked lackluster and he don't know why they came out the way that they did. They are a hard watch.
Oh, they're
definitely a hard watch. And I understand that you're being forthcoming and transparent as much as you possibly can, but dog, you're a part of the problem. I don't think you realize that you're a part of the problem.
Well, he is. I mean, maybe I'm actually surprised you offered it up. I thought he would save that for his podcast, the content he
podcast
gave
everyone. P.
That's what he is. All right, before we go any further here, a little Clearwater check-in we do around this time every day. So, Hugh, over the weekend, the Phillies found out Weston Wilson has a strained oblique. He's not going to be ready for opening day. They're very thin in terms of right-handed hitting outfielders. Like, they have Castellanos going to play every day, but then they have Kepler.
What are you suggesting, Joe?
Well, I want a trade. I have a trade idea. All right, so we have a surplus of something, and another team in the division, within the division, has a surplus of something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call up the Mets, Hugh, and I want the Mets. The Mess. Oh, even though they're pretty good, and they beat us in the playoffs last year. I want to offer them back a guy they had a few years ago. I want to offer them up Taijuan Walker. And I want back Starling Marte. Walker is obviously, he's like a no man's land, right? He's not going to be on the team. He's not going to be in the rotation.
But they've been talking about him like he might, you know, they're expecting big things from him.
Yeah, sure. Talk him up. Maybe the Mets will take him back. The Mets have lost three starting pitchers to injury already in spring training. Like, mm-hmm. they're thin at starting pitching. And Marte, who's a veteran, you know, he was an all-star back in the day, but he's older now. He's a right-handed hitter. He could still play left field. He is without a position because they signed Soto and mm-hmm. they traded for an outfielder. So earlier in the offseason, there were stories that they told him they would look for a trade. I want to swap him. They get Walker. We get Marte. You in?
Yeah, because it don't look like Taiwan's going to be a part of this
situation. And they both make about the same amount of money.
Yeah, yeah. If it's even money, yeah. I get where you're coming with that one. Yeah, that makes sense.
Walker has 1 year extra. Marte has 1 year. Walker has two. But intra-division trades are rare. But I would... He pitched well for them. They don't have starting pitcher right now because of injuries. The Phillies could use a right-handed bat. And, I mean, Hugh, if we don't do something, we're staring down more Johan Rojas playing against lefties. And we're past that now, aren't we?
Are you asking me?
I'm just wondering if
you wonder where I'm going to go this year.
Are you past the Rojas infatuation?
It's one of those things where we've been down this road a while.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been enough positive growth. Now, he had some spurts.
Sure.
It was me and the Rojas supporters that were out there last year. He had some spurts. But we're in a precarious situation now. But we haven't changed a whole lot. And we don't have the luxury of waiting around for him to you know, come around, if you will.
No, we don't.
So, yeah. I'm with you with this.
All right. Marte's a veteran. He's been a good player for a long time. Two-time All-Star. If they have no spot for him and they are desperate for starting pitching, I'd call the Mets and say, you take Walker back, we'll take Marte off your hands and get a veteran outfielder here. 215-592-9494. Are your phone calls coming up on the Tush Push Band, the potential for it around the NFL? They're talking about it at the combine here. Started with the Packers. Raheem Morris chimed in. He said it should be an illegal play. Sean McDermott.
Surprised.
Yeah, we're disappointed. But frankly, the Pandora's box is open now. Would it be a big deal if the NFL banned the Tush Push on the Eagles? Your phone calls. Plus, when we come back, we just got a pretty massive Eagles rumor. This is going to get you excited. We'll play it next. You do not want to miss this. Big Eagles rumor coming out of the NFL Combine. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.